safely in the world and make a habit comfortably inside their own skin. But wonders in the world. Our culture likes adaptive children. It gets nervous around wise adults. But the adaptive child is the you that you created to deal with whatever was being thrown at you. And it's an automatic knee-jerk response. The simplest way of describing it is fight, flight, or fix. Fight, screw me, screw you. Flight, particularly if you've got there, you're standing 6 inches away from your, so be fleeing. That's called stonewalling. It's a great predictor of divorce. And fix, which is not a mature, let me see what, it's a compulsive, you know, codependent, oh my God, you're upset, I can't be happy, if you're not happy, I'll twist myself into knots. There's an anxious contortion to regulate this around you.
And Terry, do you find that people take on all three, or do people focus really on one?
Well, it's different and different. You could be one with your kids, another with your mother. But I want you, those to pick one with your sexual intimate partner now, not 10 years ago, but now, fight, flight, or fix. So that's the broadest way of describing it, but we get more and more granular. We pick that adaptive child's relational dysfunction, the stance that you learned as a kid that you bring into your current relationship that doesn't work. I say adaptive then, maladaptive now. And the best way to describe that is knowing with me a story.
Please do.
I love to tell stories. This is my go-to adaptive child story. It's a true story. A couple on the brink, that's my beat. I deal with couples on the brink that no one else has been able to help. A liar. She's fed up. 10 years, she's had it. He's the kind of guy, she says, if you ask him what color his shoes are, he'll look down and say they're sneakers, even though they're not. He lies about everything. And for you therapists listening, he's the kind of guy you work with. You say to him, the sky is blue. He goes, well, it's aquamarine. He's not going to give it to you. So between what she reports and the way he's maneuvering with me in the office, I got him. I know his relational stance. His relational stance is he has a black belt in evasion. That's a leader. When you think relationally, it's falling off a log. When you're not, it sounds brilliant. But I have been saying, show me the thumbprint and I'll tell you the thumb. He's an evader. Who was he evading? I say to him, who tried to control you growing up? Sure enough, my father. Military man, how I sat, how I, what courses I took, what friends I had, the clothes on my back. Everything. I said, how did you deal with this controlling father? He looks at me and smiles. Now that's resistance. That's health. That's smile. He says, guess what? I lied. My dad said, don't play with Henry. I told him I was playing with Frank and I went and played with Henry. Boy, teach my students, always be respectful of the exquisite intelligence of the adaptive child. You did back then exactly what you needed to do to curb your integrity and wholeness. Smart little boy, good for you. I explain this to the guy, and I say, I have a saying. Adaptive then, maladaptive now. You're not that four-year little boy. She's not your dad. They come back 2 weeks later, absolutely true story. Hand in hand, we're done. It's over. It's finished. And it was. I checked in with him 6 months later. It was. He never lied again. To tell me the story. He says, between the last session and this, his wife sent him to the grocery store to get, say, 12 things. He came back true to form with 11. She says to him, where's the pumpernickel? He says, I want your listeners to feel this. He says, every muscle and nerve in my body was screaming to say they were out of it. And in this moment. My wife, Belinda, great family there, was these moments of relational heroism. In this moment, I took a breath. I thought of you, Terry. We therapists, our clients, our pre-fellow. I thought of you. I looked my wife in the eye and I said, I forgot the damn pumpernickel. She looked at me, true story, and burst into tears and said, I've known him for 25 years. And he was done. That is moving the adaptive child to the wise adult.
Here, it reminds me of a quote from a previous New Dimensions guest that we have, Krishnamurti, true liberation is freedom from our automatic responses.
I've been quoting that for 30 years.
Well, here's also my question around this. What I'm so curious about. For those guiding others, for therapists, does the maladaptive temptation of the automatic response ever fully go away? Or do we just stop answering the door when it's knocking?
I'm going to give you a more loving version of not answering the door.
Okay.
An inner child kicks up, and you're active and tense, and it's compulsive. When an inner child kicks up, you want to put your arms around them, put them on your lap, hear them out, and take their sticky hands off the steering wheel. You're not driving the bus. And I do imaginative inner child work where I would have the wise adult Travis Glenn turn to the 4 or 5 year old boy that's driving the show and relate to him and say, it's okay now. You don't have to do whatever. You don't have to lie anymore. You're not with you. I'm here now. And that is the healing trauma work that we do in relational life therapy.
Yeah.
And you do it over and over and over again.
Yes.
I say maturity comes when we deal with our inner children and don't foist them off on our partners to deal with. And I'm very concrete about it. I say to my patients, when Belinda's coming at me, we're both fighters. When Belinda's coming at me with anger, I literally, your old Terry, I've got a composite. I've worked with him a ton. And I put him behind my back. He holds onto my shirt. And I say to him, we have a deal. I will protect you from anger. Between her and you is me, my big 73-year-old body. You're safe back there. Here's your deal. You let me handle Belinda. Don't you do it. You'll make a mess of it. I can do better than you. Got a deal? Deal. And this last thing for the spiritual people here, a beautiful man, a Hollywood star, and he's been in years and years of AA recovery and has that spiritual higher power. And he takes his inner little boy out 3 or 4 times a day and puts his arms around him and talks. Every time he gets reactive, he does. And the last time he did equal was something that was really terrifying to him. He held the little boy and he felt his higher power holding both of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let me give you 2 big ideas. Of course, I would like people to learn more and more detail, but here are 2 big ideas. 1, Travis Glenn, if your listeners get nothing today but what I'm about to say, it will be time well spent. If you take this in and live it, your lives literally may be transformed here's the sentence. There is no redeeming value in harshness. There is no redeeming value in harshness. If it's harsh, it's off. There is nothing that harshness does that loving firmness doesn't. Stand up, inner critic inside of you, but don't meet harshness with harshness. Meet harshness with firm love. That's just the adaptive child part of you trying as it best it knows how. Get harshness out of your life. I talk about full respect living. Ask what I'm about to fall below the level of basic respect to the person I'm with. If the answer is yes, that's okay. We're human, but shut up. Take a break. Take a walk. That's relational. To cultivate the practice of shifting out of your reactive, adaptive child into your centered adult. The revolution you cultivated. And mindfulness exercises. But meditation is a beautiful help. Relational mindfulness is bringing
so beautiful. I'm already thinking of those in my life that I want to keep practicing this with, just at your inspiration. So I'm really taking this in. I'm speaking with Terry Real, author of Us. If you want to know more about his work, you can go to terryreal.com. That's TerryReal.com. Or you can get there through the New Dimensions website, newdimensions.org. I'm Travis Glenn Sabera. You're listening to New Dimensions. I'm here with our guest, Terry Real. We're talking how to bring more relational mindfulness to our interactions with ourselves and our partners. And Terry, I'm wondering if we can share now what the larger vision and purpose that you have for bringing this work for healing the world as a whole on a grander scale.
Well, let's start with our everyday lives. I've been a spiritual practitioner for over 50 years. I meditated for over 50 years. I've had many, many teachers in different traditions. For about 7 years, I sat with a Zen master. I would meet with him for an hour. We'd talk about my life for 15 minutes, and then we'd meditate together for 45 minutes. And I was drafting. I mean, meditating with this guy was like plugging into a socket. But we talked about my life. And I was just writing my first book on male depression. I don't want to talk about it. Back in the 90s. He said, "How are you?" I said, "I am so high. I am manic. I haven't slept in 3 days. I'm writing about the essential to masculine movement from shame to grandiosity, from helplessness to superiority, hurt to attack. I think I've got the essential dynamic of male violence in the world and how to stop it. How would you see that from a Zen perspective?" And he looked at me and smiled. "Well, how have you been treating Belinda?"
Exactly.
And I was so high on myself, I'd really been kind of a jerk. But so start here. We may not be in peace to the Middle East or to the Ukraine, but we can bring peace to our bedrooms and living rooms. So start right where you are. That's my spoke about doing good warm hand to warm hand. So before we move to the abstract level, live it. Live it here. The choice is in this moment. The work of relationship is moment to moment. In this moment, am I going to go with my automatic response, or am I going to take a break and make peace with ourselves? And in our heads, as well, make peace with yourself. Nowadays, if I'm harsh in my head, I will say to that little Terry, and I will say, "Listen, you may have something to teach me, but say it kindly. I'm not going to listen unless I feel like you're on my side." And I won't. I'll turn on the TV and won't. But say it kindly and I'll listen. So we can tame these critters. We really can. In terms of the big picture, I'm not Pollyanna about this. I'm actually quite, I think we're at war. I think globally, we are at war. I think that globally, democracy is on the road. America is all over the world. There has been a stunning rise of patriarchy, of autocratic value, wrong man, in, no matter whether it's a female or male body. But the leader as strongman, as dictator, as thug, as, and people like it. People are gravitating toward it. So the values of liberal democracy are in some ways being really challenged across the world. At the same time, our planet is getting hotter year by year. If we don't wake up to leave our kids and grandkids a very, very troubled world, if any world habitable massive forces like you, and bless you for this work, Travis Glatt. There are forces of people who understand interconnectedness and globalization. There are forces that are fear-based. They're like the adaptive child part of humanity. And it's about me, me, mine. The first is threat and one up, one down. We are at war, and depending on whether progressive forces win or retrogressive forces win, I literally believe the fate of our world is in the balance. And it's not off in the future. It's right here, right now.
I'm really touched that you are bringing in an awareness that your work isn't just isolated and cozy outside your context for ourselves to move in our wise adult, that we're also aware of each microcosm, macrocosm that we're a part of. So I'm really listening to the conversation.
You know, I end toward the end of the new book, Asana, I talk about coming out from under the great lie. And the great lie is that one human being could be essentially superior or inferior to another human being. The lie of one up and one down, but we are not over, we are with. And that includes ourselves, our bodies, our partners, our kids, other races, other peoples, and ultimately spirit. We will give up the grandiose delusion of dominance, and we will surrender humility of understanding. We're not above it. We're in it. It's in our enlightened self-interest to take care of it, or we will die. It's just that simple. And I think it hangs in the balance. I really do.
It's a beautiful word, surrender. I'm thinking of my own maladaptive child, either knowing one up, one down in myself, and finding the place where I needed to find my agency and my capacity to do this work from neither of these places, but ride the surfing wave in the middle of what's being asked for you. And again, I'm coming back to the word surrender that you just said.
I started with my Zen koan of what is a right relationship to power, given my abusive father, particularly male power, particularly white male power. And at 73, I feel like an idea is art. You practice your scales and practice your scales. The concert comes, you sit down at the piano, inspiration passes through you. Don't be smaller. Let the bigness speak through you. I'm doing that right now with you. Let the be a good vessel and be proud of yourself as a vessel. But what, not you? Lao Tzu, 6,000 years ago, the master steps out of the way and lets the Tao speak for thee. Be proud of your craft and don't be egotistical about the inspiration.
I'm just taking a breath with that. If we can see how this applies to one of your statements, that we're also, speaking of the Tao, constantly in relationship to the cycles of harmony, disharmony, and repair, so that we can also be available for that. So when there is disharmony, that it also doesn't throw us off course, that we realize this is also part of the cycle. This is what happens. And then we trust our own capacity that repair is corner if we surrender to relational mindfulness.
That's right. Let's not get too hung up on the word surrender. If you're one up, if you yield, and we have a saying, we want the mighty to melt, we want the weak to stand up. So if you're in the one up position, surrender means to yield. If you're in the one down position, vulnerability may be to assert yourself. It may be the opposite of yielding, but it's also a kind of surrender. It's doing what the biosphere needs from you in this moment.
That needs to be heard. Thank you so much. Esther Perel also said that she hopes to have 6 marriages in her lifetime, right? But to the same man.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking this relational state, as we're moving through our own childhood and adolescence and then struggling in our 20s and wrestling and finding it's not working, that there's also 6, maybe an evolution within our own being.
I love that. That's called growth and transformation. You know, and by the way, I'm teaching with Esther all week. I call her my sister partner in crime, Esther. We teach a lot. But the Bob Dylan, he not busy being born is busy dying. We're either growing or and growth means dismemberment and resurrection. Growth means that there's a dissolution of the comfortable what is. And who the hell, there's a source where we're going to go. If you don't get past the dissolution to the next phase, then the system dies. If you do get past the dissolution to the next phase, then the system, and we live through transformation. We live through suffering, death, and rebirth of ourselves. So I'll tell you this, because it's kind of, I want to be light. At any given moment, Belinda and I either will be liable to look at one another and smile and even bow. I want to thank you for this opportunity to work on myself.
a daily opportunity or minute-by-minute opportunity if we're living with our partner and we don't know what temperature to keep the thermostat even.
Yeah, exactly.
The smaller things come in. That's good. We don't know what the outcome's going to be. Who knows what resolution is going to come in evolution?
I've been deeply, one of my great mentors, P. Melody, was at 12-step. pioneer. I've been deeply influenced by 12-step and spirit, and all of the people I work with live the serenity prayer, as I try to as well. You step up, you do your best, it goes where it goes, and you have something. You know, I ask what's the most important. He's a verse, a friendly place. To let go and grow, you need some faith that it's going to be all right, and that's spiritual development.
Thank you so much for sharing your wisdom with us today. I've been speaking with Terry Real, author of Us. If you want to know more about his work, you can go to terryreal.com, terryreal.com, or you can get there through the New Dimensions website, newdimensions.org. I'm Travis Glenn Sabera. You've been listening to New Dimensions. This is program number 3808.
New Dimensions Radio has been making a difference on our planet since 1973, thanks to the generosity of our listeners. You too can help make a difference with a tax-deductible donation or membership. Please visit our website, newdimensions.org, and just click the donate button. You can also subscribe to our free weekly podcasts and find over 1,000 hours of audio dialogues in our search. Is produced in radio in Santa Rosa, California, USA. Our executive producer is Justine Willis-Toms. Our post-production editor is Lou Judson. For over four decades, New Dimensions has been producing weekly conversations at the leading edge. We sincerely thank all of you who have supported us by being members of Friends of New Dimensions, as well as members of our affiliate stations. My name is Dan Drayson. On behalf of everyone at New Dimensions, whose endeavors make this program possible, I'm wishing you well. New Dimensions Radio is an independent producer supported by listener contribution. To find out about the program you've just heard, to subscribe to our free weekly newsletter and our New Dimensions and New Dimensions Cafe podcasts, and to access thousands of other programs in the New Dimensions archive, please visit our website, newdimensions.org. That's newdimensions.org, or call us at 707-468-5215, 707-468-215. Please join us next time as we explore New Dimensions. New Dimensions is brought to you by Friends of New Dimensions membership support and by Larson Publications, publisher of the book An Open Life, Joseph Campbell in Conversation with Michael Toms. New Dimensions and our quarter-hour New Dimensions Cafe programs are now available worldwide as podcasts. You can find them at the iTunes Store and on many podcast sites and mobile apps. You can also find our podcasts and much more on our website, newdimensions.org. New Dimensions is the social, political, scientific, environmental, and spiritual frontiers with some of today's foremost social innovators, thinkers, scientists, and creative artists.
Hi, I'm Al Klein, author of Learning to Laugh When You Feel Like Crying. Next time on New Dimensions, I'll be talking about embracing life after loss.
Tune in to Intravenous on Wednesdays from 10 to 11 a.m. for music and talk radio about all things, all genders. Discussing and approaching contemporary gender issues through an intersectional feminist lens, our goal is to educate, engage, and challenge the dominant hegemony. Intravenous, every Wednesday morning from 10 to 11, only on CJSF 90.1 FM. Diverse, independent, yours.
Radio Rewind. Now we wait it. Radio Rewind. Now we wait it. Radio Rewind. Radio Rewind. The following content as previously JSF. But don't worry, we'll be back with fresh content. CJSF 90.1 FM. Diverse, independent, yours.
JSF 9 FM. Simon Fraser University Campus Radio, broadcasting on the unceded Coast Salish territories. This is Jennifer, and this is Deep Tracks. I hope you enjoy the show. I'm on the air for the next hour, and there's going to be minimal talking, and this is just some deep from my own personal library. This is Nina Simone doing Lilac Wine.
See clear.